If I don't sound at full voice today, there's two reasons for that. Number one, as I think everyone is at the moment, battling a little cold, been under the weather a little bit the last few days. The other one, I had a dentist appointment this afternoon, had to get numbed up on this side of my mouth, and I am not...
So half your mouth is still numb.
I am not totally unnumb yet, and I work in the wrong profession for that to... You know, be a big issue.
Now can't help you on a dentist thing, but if it makes you feel better, I'm battling a little bit of some allergies as well, so we're in the same boat.
I thought it was allergies. See, I've never been allergic to anything my whole life. I just thought, man, I'm really blessed that I do not have to deal with that.
It's the time of the year. Let's just be honest here.
But man, about 4 or 5 days ago, it really started hitting me, and I thought, well, okay, this must be just allergies for the first time. But after trying around with some different medications, I actually just think it's a cold that I'm still battling. But the weather is starting to get a little bit warmer out there. Hopefully that will help that situation. A little bit of K-State NFL news, by the way, that I just saw during the break. Adam Schefter from ESPN tweeting out that Glenn Gronkowski has been signed by the New England Patriots. So it is two Gronkowskis on the Patriots. One of the instant reactions that I saw to that I thought was very funny was that they signed this Gronkowski so that they could harvest his healthy body parts and give them to the other Gronkowski.
That's a fair assessment.
Probably true. But in any case, former K-State fullback Glenn Gronkowski has a contract in place with the reigning world champion New England Patriots. Did you happen to watch any Big 12 basketball last night?
I did not. I was actually here for a little while last night, and I do some other stuff around the house, and I did not watch the end of the KU game, but I watched something much better, and that was the nuclear explosion that was Twitter at the end of that game.
Yeah, it was interesting for sure. KU trailed this game by 14 points. It was 64-50 with 2:43 to go, and KU rallies to force overtime and win it in overtime. And by the way, I had almost no interest at all in watching overtime because
you knew it was going to
happen. You knew exactly what was going to happen. Actually,
I'm surprised it's only a 4-point final.
Same. Exactly. I thought that if you would have told me KU would win that by double digits, I would have believed you. Absolutely.
I mean, the way I think of it was the Iowa State game in Ben McLemore's year. Mm-hmm. McLemore hits that crazy bank 3-4 OT, and they win by, mm-hmm, I think 12 or 13 points in OT, and you knew exactly that was going to happen beforehand. That's what I thought was going to.
Well, it's been a couple of decades since Kansas has lost back-to-back home games, and they were so close to doing that, but West Virginia kind of snatched defeat from the jaws of victory, it appeared. And here's the thing about West Virginia, and this has gotten talked about a lot today, and I think it's very, very true. West Virginia presses a lot. Why? Because they don't have as much talent as some of the top teams in the Big 12, and so they have to press to force more turnovers, which in turn gives them more possessions, which in turn gives them more opportunities to
just
get
in
points.
General to make opposing teams uncomfortable.
Right,
it's because it's something they don't see.
It's like a handicap almost. I mean, West Virginia from a talent perspective,
fair point, yeah.
From a talent perspective, West Virginia is solid, but they are not great. They're certainly not, you know, as their ranking would say, number 9. They're not the 9th most talented team in the country, not even close. So they press to make up for that, and most of the time it's very, very successful. But the thing about that is when you get pressed and you're West Virginia, that takes more than just having athletes that are or that have a lot of endurance and, you know, are just solid basketball players. You have to have some actual talent to break the press. And West Virginia, I thought last night when I was watching them fail miserably to break that KU press down the stretch of the game, that's what that showed to me, is that West Virginia, they've got the bodies to press you, but when they get pressed, they don't quite have the ball handling skills and the natural basketball abilities that you need to break the press at a very high level, and that's ultimately what gave KU a chance to come back last night.
Not saying this is the chief reason, but I don't think that having half of your foot on the inbounds lines when your inbounding is going to exactly help that either.
Yeah, that is very true, and I tried my absolute best, as hard as it is for me. I
tried my best to stay impartial.
What I was going to say is to not jump into that rabbit hole on Twitter last night.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you tweet something about it, you have your mentions just light up with KU fans talking about how it's sour grapes and blah blah blah. But yes, there were two plays. And especially the one that you're mentioning, and there's a great video of this that's gotten thousands and thousands of views today of how KU was pressuring the inbounder along the baseline. And yes, number one, the KU defender, I think it was Frank Mason, was absolutely over the out of bounds line. The five count never got to five. You know, there were a lot of issues, but in any case, that's West Virginia did it to themselves. It wasn't necessary for the game to go to overtime. West Virginia was the reason for that. But yes, there were a couple of things that, you know, if you are used to the officiating at Allen Fieldhouse, you have to notice that and be like, well, here we go again. But
at the same time, though, you're up 14 points with barely 2.5 minutes to go.
Right.
I mean, that's one of those games where you almost have to try to lose that game to lose that game.
Yeah,
when
well,
you're in that kind of a situation.
It's kind of similar to, you know, when the Chiefs and Colts playoff game where the Chiefs had a 28-point lead in the third quarter.
Yeah.
Mathematically, the Chiefs could have started kneeling down on every offensive play starting in the third quarter, and they would have won that game if they would have done that. But the thing is, you don't do that because you go
three and out every time.
There's still enough time left. Like in West Virginia's case, there's still 2.5 to 1.5 minutes left. You still feel like you have to make some winning plays instead of just holding the ball at midcourt for 30 seconds and giving it over to KU. And so I think that contributed to it as well. They felt sped up. They felt the need to like go for the dagger dunk or dagger three-pointer. And some of that goes on coaching, by the way. I mean, if you're Bob Huggins, and Bob Huggins is a great coach, but he has got to be able to control his players' thought process as they're going through that and say, look, I know that we want to put our exclamation point on this. I know this would be the biggest win of the season for us.
But just don't screw up.
But just
that's all you got to do.
Right. Do not put yourself in some of those bad situations. And certainly people listening right now, I mean, K-State has done their fair share of that kind of thing. They've never done it to the extent of a 14-point lead with 2.5 minutes left.
But it seems like just one close game after another, finding some way to maybe not blow it necessarily, but enter any adjective you want to describe the late-game struggles that the Wildcats have had this year, but it certainly does apply. You are correct in that regard.
I mean, KU shot, I believe it was a season low, 34% last night. They were 35% on three-pointers. They were 9 of 26. They only had 12 assists in the game. You know, they didn't share the ball particularly well. They were called for 27 fouls, which doesn't happen every game in Allen Fieldhouse. And still, West Virginia wasn't able to hold on down the stretch for what would have been a huge victory. Not one that would have got them back into Big 12 title contention, in my opinion. I think that had already been settled. But it would have been huge for Baylor. And Baylor has bailed out KU for some of their struggles this year by losing home games to K-State and then losing last night on the road to Texas Tech. Well, if you turn one of those games around, Baylor is still very much in the thick of things, but now it's going to be tough.
Let's just be honest. The Big 12 race is over. Start sizing up for the rings already.
Yeah, pretty much. We're going to head to our next break. When we come back, we're going to be going around college basketball a little bit more on last night's Big 12 action, particularly what happened in Lubbock. Did Texas Tech save its NCAA chances with its win last night? Plus, something interesting that's has been going on in the women's game, playing in four quarters instead of two halves, could be coming to the men's game. The NIT is going to experiment with it. We'll have the details coming up next.